الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد. اللهم يا مسبب الأسباب والمفتح الأبواب ويا دير الحارين توكلت عليك يا رب العالمين وفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد. My dear brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
This is a continuation of a series of talks hosted this Ramadan by the Islamic Education Foundation in Jeddah City of Masjid Al-Lami, Al-Lami Mosque branch. May Allah reward them for making it possible. May Allah Jazakallah Khairan. And these series of talks come under the title Ramadan, the blessed month of fasting. What's in it for non-Muslims? Is there anything that Ramadan can offer non-Muslims? And to continue where we left last week and the week before, if you remember last week we talked about coverage about Ramadan, media coverage about the Ramadan, especially in the Western media, and how more positive coverage every year is being circulated in world international media, be it print media, electronic media, or satellite TV or radio. Just last night, I was searching through and Googling for more news about Ramadan in the Western media, especially in American newspapers. And I came across this. It's from WFAA.com, Dallas, from Dallas in the United States of America. And this is a radio station or TV station. The headline reads, Methodist Minister, Methodist, they are a group of Christians that belong to a denomination among Christians that's called Methodist Church. They are Protestant. So Methodist minister is not just an ordinary Christian, he's a minister of a church. Methodist minister observes Ramadan in solidarity with Muslims. In solidarity with Muslims, this Methodist minister, he says, I'm going to observe fasting Ramadan, I'm going to fast with the Muslims. This is just, I picked up last night, dated or the night before, but I read it last night, on August 1st, 2012, this year. And then we read, outsiders may see differences between Imam Yasin Sheikh, he's an imam there, and Reverend Dr. Wes Magruder, but they don't. And then the news continue. Magruder, the minister, is senior associate pastor of First United Methodist Church of Rowlett. Then Sheikh is the leader of the Islamic Association of Collin County in Plano. The two are friends, the imam of the center and the minister, they're both friends, not enemies, alhamdulillah. And Magruder is doing something rarely done outside Islamic faith. What is that? Observing the holiest Muslim month of Ramadan. How is he doing it? He's fasting with us this Ramadan. So it reads, that means fasting from dawn to sunset. The minister is fasting. No food or drink, not even water. And then it continues. Why is he doing it? Now they are quoting him. He says, my initial thought was, he's crazy. They're quoting the imam here. Because it's pretty intense. The imam thought that this is a crazy minister. Sheikh said, however, the Sheikh continues, when I understood his intentions of solidarity, wanting to walk in the shoes of a Muslim for a month, then it was very encouraging and inspiring, the Sheikh said. Then the news piece carries on, saying about Magruder. Magruder said, he just wanted to see what it was like listen very carefully. He wanted to see what it was like to test his self-discipline. He wanted to see what it is like to test his self-discipline. I want you to underline the word self-discipline in your head. And just remember this word. Because this is one of the meanings of the many meanings of Takut in Tagalog, Takwa. I just learned a new word from Brother Salas Mashal. Takut, right? Takut is Takwa, right? Mashal. So this guy is trying to develop Takwa. Self-discipline is one of the meanings of Takwa. To fear God, to fear Allah, to be conscious of God's presence in your life, to please Allah. Taqwa means all of that. You know, Arabic is such a rich language. One word in Arabic can give you 3-4 lines of meaning in English or any other language. One of those very rich and very deep words in the Arabic dictionary is the word taqwa. Taqut in Tagalog. You taught me that. Jazakallah khair. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Sayulaman kami humingi ng tulong. Sayulaman kami sumasabay. Tulong mo sa amin ang tamang landas mabihin na daan. Alhamdulillah. I speak in tongues. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so they are quoting the minister. The minister is saying, he just wanted to say what it's like to test his self-discipline and his spirituality. To test his self-discipline and his spirituality. He is finding it difficult, of course. It's not easy. Yet, exciting pursuit. He's finding it difficult, but yet exciting pursuit. Now they are quoting him. What did he say? Listen very carefully to what the Methodist minister is saying. I feel it. He said, I feel it all the time. What are you feeling, man? I feel it all the time. This constant awareness that I could use a drink. Or I am really hungry. He's feeling it hard. But every time that becomes a conscious thought, what does he do? I turn it into a prayer. Allahu Akbar. Or he would say, Hallelujah. That's the purpose of fasting. The minister is discovering. He's right. That is the purpose of fasting. Yes. So he continues saying, it forces me, listen very carefully, he's saying, it forces me to be conscious of God. What is the word in Tagalog? Takut. Takwa, to have takwa. It forces me. What forces it? Fasting Ramadan. Saum Ramadan forces me to be conscious of God and God's presence at all times. What fasting Ramadan is teaching a senior Methodist minister in the United States of America. And then he said, many Christians have begun asking questions to discover exactly what Ramadan is. His congregation. Pastor, Reverend, what is Ramadan? How are you doing it? They're asking him. Instead of us going doing dawah to his congregation, the minister is doing dawah for us, free of charge. Allah. He's telling his people about Allah. Not only this, he's writing about it in his own blog site day by day. First day of Ramadan, I'm fasting. It's so hard. Man, I want to drink. It's so thirsty. Second day of Ramadan, it's getting harder. And in his blog site online. Yes. Then he's saying, I'm trying to become a bridge between Muslims and Christians. May Allah guide you. Before we read further into this, And I'll leave these papers with Brother Hems, inshallah, so that he can make copies and post on the board for you. Or you can make use of it, you can make copies of this news item. Before I proceed, what you just heard me reading from the newspaper or from the TV website, you're going to hear and see, but unfortunately on a smaller screen from the iPad. So allow me just to, Bismillah. Now I'm going to hold that.
A Christian clergyman from Raleigh is observing Islamic holy month of Ramadan, and he has found that by honoring a friend's faith, he's strengthening his own. And let's do so with
you. A Muslim, a Methodist, we see differences. They don't.
I have no doubt that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, that we have some of the core foundations.
Pastor Wesley Brewer of First United Methodist Church of Rowlett is doing something rarely done outside the Islamic faith, observing the holiest Muslim month, Ramadan.
My initial thoughts are that he's crazy. This is pretty intense.
Fasting from dawn to sunset. No food, no drink, not even water.
This constant awareness that, gosh, I'm sure if you can drink, I'm really hungry. But every time that becomes a conscious thought,
an extreme test of spiritual discipline to honor his friend Imam Yaqeen Sheikh, who leads his mosque in Plano.
I think he sends out a message over the UC of Plano. Frankly, all we Methodists do is give up sodas or chocolate for 30, 40 days in Lent. That's all we do. It's wimpy compared to Ramadan. And I'd like to see a return to a more strenuous, rigorous practice of fasting. I think it would be good for us.
The 30-day fast is not yet half over. Already faith and friendship are strong.
Now let me go back and quote him on what you heard on the television. What did he say? He said, frankly, all we Methodists do, the Christian followers of the Methodist Church, frankly, all we Methodists do, and this can go for the rest of the Protestant and Evangelicals and even Orthodox Christians and Catholic Christians with all due respect. He's saying, frankly, all we Methodists do is give up on soda. Pepsi, Coca-Cola, I'm giving them free advertisement. All we Methodists do is give up soda or chocolate for 30 or 40 days in Lent. The Christian period of fasting. That's how they fast. I told you a few weeks ago, that's how they fast. They give up on ice cream or chocolate, whatever they like, meat products, milk products, chicken, eggs, whatever. But then he can eat everything else. So he is confirming what I said a few weeks ago, what you know already, coming from Christianity into Islam, alhamdulillah, some of you or most of you. You already knew that. So the minister is saying, frankly, all we Methodists do is give up soda or chocolate for 30 or 40 days in Lent. Then he continues, it's wimpy compared to Ramadan. What they do in Christianity, fasting there, is nothing compared to Ramadan. In other words, what is that? Giving up soda? Giving up chocolate? What is that? It's nothing compared to fasting during Ramadan. And he says, listen, he didn't stop there. He said, I would like to see a return among who? Among Christians. The minister wants to see his Christians go back to what? To fasting like Muslims. Because it is the way Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, fasted. We already dealt with this, remember? The information in the pamphlet? Right? In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And after he was fasting, what happened to him? He felt hungry. They say, Jesus didn't give up soda or chocolate, peace be upon him. He didn't eat any food, all food, he didn't drink, not even water. and he felt angry, says Matthew. The information is there in the pamphlet. So, and it's in every Bible, in every language of the Bible. So now the pastor says, I would like to see a return to a more strenuous and rigorous practice of fasting. We want to go back, in other words, to a more serious way of fasting. Well, giving up soda and chocolate is not serious. You know, otherwise everybody is fasting. Then he says, I think it would be good for us. It would be good for who? For Christians. Allah says in the Quran, in the verses that speak about fasting in general, وَأَنْتَصُرُمُ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ. If you fast, it will be better for you. The ministers say, it will be better for us. But if you notice, he was putting emphasis on what fasting helped him deal with and what fasting developed inside him. Most importantly, taqwa. To be more aware of God's presence in your life, to be conscious of God, to have self-discipline. All these meanings he spoke about. And that brings us, this actually confirms what the pastor said, confirms what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it before the pastor, and Allah said it first. Where? Does anyone know? What the minister says is already in the Quran, 1400 years ago, about fasting and taqwa. Chapter 2? 185? That's 184, 183. You're very close. So the verse is in chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 183. The brother was referring to the verse I was dealing with a few weeks ago, and last week, that is 185. But the verse that suits this article, 183, where Allah says, and the verse is also here available for you, that's the verse in Arabic, and translation at the top of the pamphlet, with reference. Where Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا O you who believe, كتب عليكم الصيام. Fasting is made an obligation on you. Allah is talking to the Muslim directly. You have no choice but to fast. You are obliged to fast. You have to fast. If you are able, if you reach a certain age, and you can do it, then you should do it. It's not a matter of choice. So Allah says, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, made an obligation on you. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ As it was made an obligation on those people before you. Who are Allah talking about? Jews and Christians. People of the book. Allah made fasting also an obligation on them. So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ O you who believe, fasting is made an obligation on you as it was made an obligation on those people before you. The verse doesn't stop. It continues with this very important information. What is so related to fasting? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ That you may learn taqwa, have taqwa, learn self-restraint. That you may be aware of God's presence in your life. That you may be conscious of God. All the meanings of taqwa go on and on. What the minister is talking about, Allah spoke about in chapter 2, verse 183. So that's the verse to share with the people in light of what the pastor said and what he's going through. And I picked up the Examiner, another news website from the United States of America, the Examiner. The headline reads, Why a Dallas UM pastor is observing the Muslim fast of Ramadan. This is the same pastor. He is now, why is he observing Ramadan? Another interview for the press. He's getting interviewed. His blog site is getting 5,000 hits per hour. or on one single day. And he's getting invites for free iftar, that is to have the breakfast meal at sunset at local masjids. And you see him here in the photo sitting with Muslims having iftar, being invited to a masjid. So this story was published on July 29th of this year, 2012. It says, he has not only decided to observe Ramadan fast this year with his Muslim friends, blog about this experience, but also break his fast with Muslims as well. Last night, he accepted the invitation of a local mosque to eat. And let me tell you, Ramadan or no Ramadan, non-Muslims love our food. Wallah, I've seen it. They can die for our food. They don't deny it. Don't deny it. You hate everything about Muslims, so that because of the media, you know, terrorists, you escape people, whatever, backward. But when it comes to our food, they praise us for our food. I've been to all the shawarma, and I'm fasting. I'm not supposed to say that. Yeah. But and they know also about the falafel. Falafel is invading America. I've seen it with my own eyes. They die for our food. So at any opportunity you invite them, they come. Alhamdulillah. So McGregor writes on his blog how he has been feeling spiritually, staying lately, and how he was yearning to the old Christian fast. How he is yearning to the old Christian fast. What is he talking about? He's talking about how Jesus Christ was fasting, like Muslims. He is yearning for that. He's hungry for that. He wants to go back now. Who helped Muslims go back to the ways of the prophets that Allah sent? Who helped us fast like Jesus Christ? Peace be upon him. The pagans of Arabia. There were no Christian missionaries here. The pagan Arabs from Mecca, where I come from, whenever they heard the name Jesus Christ, they mocked him. They mocked him. Jesus, where is Jesus? Talk about the first flag, right? The pagans of Arabia. One man did the job. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That man is Muhammad. Not your Christian missionaries, not your churches, no way. Arabia was never conquered by any Christian soldier. He didn't set a foot. There has never been a church here in the Hijaz region. Never, ever. So where you, Christian missionaries, evangelicals, priests and pastors failed, you failed in Arabia. And you're still failing in Arabia. Alhamdulillah, they're not succeeding here. Not a single church. Not a single Arab from here embracing Christianity. Alhamdulillah. Really, seriously, honestly, you know, that they can be proud of. So who did the job? Who made the Arabs, the pagan Arabs, believe in one God only, and then he took them back to the old way of fasting of the prophets? Who did that? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Peace be upon him. And yet, most evangelicals, this is a good evangelical. This is a good minister, may Allah guide him. But most evangelicals will call Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam names. They will mock him. They will call him what and have you. They will say he's an antichrist, a'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. That he's an enemy of Christ. Astaghfirullah. What? But look at this minister. Why can't you all be like this minister? What is wrong with you? He is finding it out. He is practicing now fasting, and now he is learning, we need to go back. Now, I'm happy to hear him say that, but I will say, you are 1400 years late. But you know what they say, the West, better late than never. Ahlan wa sahlan, we will be waiting. We will be waiting for the return of the prodigal son. Come back, ahlan wa sahlan, welcome. We'll welcome them. You want to go back? We will have you go back. Actually, the Muslims are helping the pastor going back. He's fasting with the help of the Muslims. And who feeds him? Not his congregation. Not the congregation. Not the church. They don't feed him. The Muslims say, come, we'll feed him. We'll have you start with us. So, alhamdulillah, I just want him to know, in case he's going to watch this, I want his congregation to know. They need to give credit where credit is due. It's about time that you give credit to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did this with the Arabs. Whenever now we hear the name Jesus Christ, we say peace be upon him. Whenever we hear his mother's name, we say with total love, peace be upon her. I named my daughter after the mother of Jesus Christ. Maryam. Alhamdulillah. May Allah save and save all our children. His name is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Jesus' name. Her son, 25 times. His mother's name is mentioned 34 times. With all respect, love and honor. And out of 114 chapters of the entire Quran, one chapter is named after in honor of the mother of Jesus Christ. That is chapter Maryam, Surah Maryam. So this is how we love Jesus Christ. Who did it? Who installed this love and left it with us enduring 1400 years? Without the help of any minister, any born-again Christian, any missionary? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's about time that you make peace with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you come to know this man. Jesus Christ said, you shall know them by their fruits. You are enjoying fasting and Ramadan. Who taught us about fasting and Ramadan? It was Muhammad, peace be upon him, ordered by God. He received the revelation and then he taught us how to fast. So if you come and join the Muslims and you are happy and it's helping you and it's teaching you, pastor, minister, reverend, it's because of Muhammad, peace be upon him. We are the fruits of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You shall know that all of this that you're experiencing coming to the masjid, Ramadan is the fruit of the teaching and the guidance of this man, guided by God. Think about it. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Because this man had made a very serious statement. He made the most serious statement. He said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, no Christian or Jew shall hear of me and not follow me and die on that, his reward will be ending up in hell. So if you hear that God sent a man by the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, and he is sent to all of mankind, including Jews and Christians, and you don't give this man the benefit of the doubt, you don't put his claim to the test, you don't see what evidence he brought from his Lord with to support his claim, and you say, I'm too busy, man. What's the latest price on the stock market today? And I want to buy a villa. Oh, the stock market is down. Oh my God, look, the economic crisis. Oh, I lost my house. I want to kill myself. What did you live your life for? What is the purpose of this life? Man, we're all going to die. You have no time. You have no time. It's a serious, serious oath that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made on behalf of his Lord. You love Ramadan, you enjoy Ramadan and everything, but what about the man behind Ramadan? In America they say, it's not the gun, it's the man behind the gun. I'm telling you, it's not Ramadan, it's the man behind Ramadan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's Muhammad, peace be upon him. It's about time that you come and give some credit to this man. And the best way you can do that is to check out his claim. What evidence? Is he really a messenger from God, the final one? Is he? Was he? Should we follow him? Ask yourself those questions. So, the pastor here is saying, we are yearning to the old Christian fast. He's yearning to the old Christian fast that he believes Americans are not big fans of. Americans are not big fans of that fast. Therefore, Magruder, the minister, turned to the Muslim faith for inspiration. Since he knew that Muslims have successfully been fasting for 30 days each year during Ramadan for over 1400 years. He wanted to go back to the old Christian faith. He looked around. No American Christians, no Christians are big fans of. What? Total food and no water? Come on, man, it's gone. Jesus died for our sins. We don't need that. So then he looked around and he saw the Muslims. Then he joined the Muslims. And he says, they are successfully doing it. Every year, 29 or 30 days, for 1400 years they are doing it. Success. So he's saying that. And he's continued to say, the Muslim fast is a total abstention from eating and drinking during the daylight hours. Furthermore, the fast goes beyond the stomach to include the eyes, the tongue, the ears, and all limbs which are expected to be trained to submit to the pleasure of God by refraining from ill manners and moral vice. He's learning how to fast properly, like a Muslim. A few Muslims succeeded. May Allah make us among those ones. A few Muslims succeed in attaining a hard fast while they become spiritually submissive to the divine as well. So that is the story of one pastor. Very quickly, before I take much of your time, he is not alone. That pastor is not alone. Another evangelical is joining him. Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar!
They're going back! I told you last week they're going back. Alhamdulillah, they are. I picked up this from BelieveNet.com or Believe.net. It's a very famous website for people interested in religions. The headline reads, an evangelical fasts during Ramadan. He's fasting this Ramadan. Another evangelical from the United States. And it says here, he's speaking, he wrote this article, I am going to fast sometime during Ramadan, the Muslim holy month that begins Friday, started Friday, July 20th. Not for a whole month. This master is saying, I can't do it for a whole month. I'll just fast sometime. Honest, no problem. Wish him luck. Then he says, like many devout Muslims, my plan is to get without food a day, while I also spend some time praying. Then he says, I have never fasted for religious reasons before. An evangelical leader of the church, he never fasted for a religious purpose before in his lifetime. He's doing it for the first time. So this year, while Muslims fast during Ramadan, I, the evangelical leader is talking, I too will join, will experiment with a time of fasting and prayer. I hope other Christians will join me. He's inviting them. So, and I hope they will do so precisely because of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. And then he says, we evangelicals have long ignored fasting. We evangelicals have long ignored fasting and other spiritual practices that we have long considered too Catholic. Too Catholic. But no, man, it's Islamic. Now let's go. So he says, but the mood has begun to change recently. The mood has begun to change recently. Why? Because of Ramadan. And then he says, practitioners of Islam begin a time of self-denial and self-discipline. Taqut in Tagalog. Taqut. I have decided that it is time for me to engage in a similar exercise as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, this is the pastor, another pastor is joining, and now a third pastor. A third pastor. It's becoming a trend now. Not a new haircut style. No. It's a trend now. What are you doing, pastor, this summer? I'm fasting Ramadan. Wish me luck. Oh. Another pastor. What's his name? Nathan Elmore. And not only is fasting Ramadan, this is from his blog site. he's saying, I am a Christian pastor who works at the Baptist, he's a Baptist, minister at Virginia Commonwealth University. He says, during Ramadan, I am ritually reading through the Quran in English. He's reading an English translation of the meaning of the Holy Quran during Ramadan. Also, you saw the first minister, the Methodist minister, if you noticed on the televised interview, he was going through the Holy Quran during Ramadan. Because Ramadan is the month in which the Holy Quran was sent down. Now this is verse, this is from chapter 2, verse 185. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was sent down. About the Quran, Allah says, هدى للناس, as a guide for all of mankind. And then Allah adds, وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. And also this Quran is clear signs of judgment between right and wrong. So they are spending, the evangelical leaders, the evangelical church leaders are reading Quran during Ramadan. I know some Muslim youngsters, alhamdulillah, they don't open the Quran during Ramadan. I want to look them in the eye in the camera and tell them, when تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُهُمْ فَلَا. If you were given this gift from birth, you were born to a Muslim family and you don't know what you have, and every Ramadan come and you are neglectful of your duty, you don't touch the Quran, a'udhu billah, don't worry, Allah is substituting you. Allah is bringing other people and put them in your place, and they will not be like you, they will be better than you. Allah is bringing now evangelical leaders, church members, they are reading the Quran during Ramadan and they are yet to become Muslims. May Allah bring them, may Allah guide them. And let me conclude with two more stories quickly. Now, not only pastors or church leaders, individuals. This girl here, this story about this girl from originlife.com. Fasting for Ramadan, bonds Catholic Muslim friends. This is a Christian Catholic girl. She challenged her Muslim friend, you know, and at school, at high school. And she was saying, it all started last year during the Christian fasting period of Lent. She's talking. When Jordan complained, now this is the Muslim girl talking about Jordan, the Christian girl. It all started last year during the Christian fasting period of Lent, when Jordan, the Christian girl, American girl, complained to some guy about her promise to give up sweets for 40 days. She was complaining, and so hard, she loves sweets. So now she's a Catholic, she's supposed to observe fasting Lent, and then she said, it's hard giving up sweets for 40 days. Then her Muslim friend heard her and says, this other Muslim that said was like, well, Ramadan is 10 times harder than that. Allahu Akbar. Then the Christian girl was challenged. What? You mean you can do it better? I'll join you. I'll show you. And she joined Muslims. She's fasting Ramadan with Muslims. And look at what her parents are saying. Her parents are happy. Her American Catholic parents are happy. So the newspaper quoted her mother, her Catholic mother, saying, my husband and I were both proud of her, that she would want to do something that would require that much discipline. Something that would require that much discipline. Taqwa. Yes, alhamdulillah. Then Jordan says, she learned one of the lessons Muslims are supposed to take from Ramadan during her month-long fast last year, 2011. She says, empathy for those less fortunate. This is one of the many lessons we learn in Ramadan. And lastly, alhamdulillah, this is from Jakarta Observer. And the Jakarta Globe Online, this news piece was published on July 26th. The headline says, non-Muslims fasting Ramadan to crack practice humility and self-control. Non-Muslims now started fasting Ramadan in Australia. They're joining, not single individuals, one here and there. They're joining in great numbers now. I told you, it's becoming a trend. So he met, and this writer of the article met a 19-year-old girl. She's not atheist, she's not a theist. She's in between. And she's telling him, I am not fasting for the sake of religion, but as a way to practice humility and self-control. To practice taqwa, in the heart. Right? And he's quoting another Christian guy by the name Daniel Bay. In his blog post published on Monday, he wrote, although I'm not a Muslim, I have tremendous amount of respect for the faith. A respect which has developed and grown stronger since coming to live here in Indonesia. Allahu Akbar. Then he says, my decision to fast is therefore an attempt to better understand the condition of being a Muslim, and so in the process, Islam itself. So, and then they are quoting, it is especially hard for non-Muslims because, as they pointed out, the same guy, for a Westerner such as myself, this means resisting the temptation to drink alcohol. The temptation to drink alcohol. Muslims fasting or not fasting, they are not supposed to touch alcohol. We don't drink alcohol. We are not supposed to. It's haram, total, in total. So, he is saying for a Westerner, you know, non-Muslim, drinking alcohol is not haram. It's not forbidden on them. Right? It's, they drink it like water sometimes. So he's saying, for a Westerner, like myself, such as myself, this means resisting the temptation to drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes. This obviously requires a great deal of strength and inner discipline. Strength and inner discipline. Taqwa. Taqwa. So, he says, there are two qualities in which I hope the experience can help me strengthen. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has made an obligation on you, as it was made an obligation on those before you, that you may learn taqwa, self-restraint, self-discipline, all of that. What Allah spoke about 1400 years ago, non-Muslims are experiencing. They are coming closer to Islam, one step after the other. May Allah bring them faster. May they all come. May Allah guide them and guide us and help us help ourselves, help our new friends. Help this evangelical and reverend. And from Saudi Arabia, on your behalf, from Jeddah City, I salute you, Reverend. We all wish you good luck and come closer. You know, read further into it, and please check out the claim, the serious claim and the oath taken by Muhammad, peace be upon him. With that, I conclude this talk by thanking you very much for being patient, bearing with me. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidi wa habibi. Jazakumullah khairan.